the Ally Spotlight, hosted by me, Andrew Milne.
And me, Sarah Edmash.
We'll be talking to guests about how they're working towards making the world a more diverse, equal and inclusive place. Today, I'm excited to introduce today's guest, Ali Lewis, Director of Rugby for the Village Spartans, Manchester's premier LGBTQ rugby team. Hi, Ali, and welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
No problem. Thanks for agreeing to come on with us today. So, Ali, could you tell us a bit more about yourself and your inclusion journey?
So I am from a family of six, so four siblings, three siblings, and three of us play rugby, my two brothers and myself. And so my mom was always very much an inclusive person and wanted to make sure that all genders got the same sort of offer of activities and opportunities as each other. And I think that really kind of set me on a path of being like, anybody can literally do anything they want and there shouldn't be the restrictions that are put on people. So as I grew up, I played for a girls rugby team when I was about 13, and the closest one was about 30 miles away. So understood the hardships that went with wanting to do what you want to do, and kind of just cracked on with it. And my mom was, again, the person who drove me to and from rugby. So she was very supportive, and made sure that, again, we were given whatever opportunities we wanted, specifically with sports, I think, more than anything else. But that was a big thing for my family generally. And then when I went to university, I did a sports development degree with inclusion. And again, most of our modules, it could be split into three. So you either had business, health and nutrition, or inclusion. And I took the inclusion route, and we had a couple of extra modules about like women in sport and disability sport. So it was an eye opener to other people's opinions, maybe, on quality and inclusion. And again, it got us to kind of discuss difficult topics with a range of people. So I like to think that I can talk to difficult people. I don't necessarily want to or put myself in that position very often. But if things do arise from people that I'm not necessarily close with, I will try and have a grown-up discussion about points of view and stuff. It gets to a point where it becomes almost every day and every interaction. So. Yeah, I know there's lots to do in the world in terms of making it a bit more inclusive. But my job at like Spartans is really important to me because it combines my two interests or my two parts of my world, which is rugby and like the queer community. So it's really great that I get to put them together and have that as a place for me to be able to celebrate lots of different types of people.
And when you say difficult people, how do you mean? Just to be a bit more specific on that one.
I would say people who are probably ignorant or are not very good at being analytic of information that they take in or are subject to. And especially those people who kind of hear something on Facebook and then they just go and repeat it to tens of people. I think it can be quite detrimental, and they don't have the kind of critical thinking to be like, oh, I wonder why that person has said that, or I wonder what has happened for that behaviour to come up. But yeah, so I think mostly sort of ignorant people, I would say.
Oh, cool. So no, I've never heard of there being like an inclusion model doing a sports degree, and it's nothing I would have thought that they would do. I think it's great that there's now a specific module for inclusion available to pupils.
Yeah, it was one of the things that I was really conscious of. I started on a sports science degree and then figured out it's all maths and physics. And I was like, oh, no, don't. I'm not a fan of this. I want to kind of deal with the sociology of sport and figuring out why different types of people play different types of sports or why people don't play sport or are physically active and the barriers and stuff to that. Because sport has obviously given me so much in my life. I wondered how I could then make that a little bit easier for other people to access.
Okay, and you're pretty pivotal to the inclusion efforts within the Village Spartans. What made you, you know, want to work with them? And I'm going to sound really awful here because obviously we know each other through sports, but I don't know what I actually do with the Village Spartans other than being a coach there. So I feel like I'm giving you a job interview now. So tell us, what do you do?
Andrew, I'm not sure you have time for the amount of stuff that I can reel off of what I do with the Spartans. But so my role is the director of rugby, and I started as a coach, just as a first team coach, about 3 years ago. And the director of rugby at the time was looking to retire. So he put out an advert for a first team coach. And as a woman in rugby, it's quite difficult to get a first team head coach role. And I thought, if there's any team that's going to give me the opportunity, it's probably going to be a queer team. So I applied for it. And then, yeah, so once I got the first team coach position, I was mainly only really involved in the training sessions on the Wednesday and then the games on the Saturday. And then since taking over as the director of rugby, there's many, many, many things that kind of come with that role. And as it is a club that is quite big in terms of members, there's lots of things that we need to do to keep things ticking over. And I think one of the main important things is kind of making sure that we utilise our volunteers and our team members as much as possible, especially those who are like injured. That's something that we've brought in this season, is having a paid physio. So we're really trying to look after our playing members and making sure that we've taken player welfare to a point I don't think it's ever really been before with an IGR club. So especially in the north. So it's just trying to create a little bit more of a structure and a good working environment to keep everybody involved in the sport for as long as possible.
That sounds amazing. Your mum sounds really cool, by the way.
Thank you.
So how have things changed, do you think, since you've got involved with the club? How do you think you've made an impact on everything?
I hope I've made newbies feel really welcome. And I know from playing at different teams, like, it's so important for your first training session or your first introduction to the team to be a positive one, to make sure that you kind of know who everyone is or that people remember your name. I know that's a big thing with a lot of people, is once they tell me their name, I'll always repeat it back to them, and then I'll use it as often as I can in that training session just to make sure that they know that they're being seen by somebody and that they're wanted and that they're valued. There was a big thing about team culture and like club culture within the Spartans. We do have three teams who compete in three different leagues, but I tried to instill this ethos of you are a club player first. I just really tried to make sure that that was a priority of, like, we're all Spartans and everybody's here for the same reason. So just to turn up, make sure everyone's friendly, everyone's respectful and welcoming to new people and maybe returning players who have taken a bit of time off. But yeah, try to get this one club mentality.
Yeah, and I must say, on your remembering of names, it's so impressive. When I first started doing the training sessions, I was like, oh my God, somebody remembered my name. And like you said, it's such a small thing, but it does mean quite a lot. You know, speaking as a new player, it's incredibly intimidating to come onto the field not knowing really what you're doing and kind of crack on and start something new as well. So, you know, from my experience, the work that you guys do there is, you know, pretty good and impressive, which is partly why I'm still going back even now. So we talk a lot about allies and allyship on this podcast, and it can often feel like people have to pick a group to ally with. You're all about inclusivity in sport. So how do you think we can help people to think more broadly rather than having to pick groups per se?
I would probably say, like, think about the things that help you identify who you are, and then see how many different things that could be. So as me as a person, I would be a white, queer, female rugby player. So there, for me, there's like five different sections that we can work with of, okay, so if I'm not white, then what else could I be? And then you go through kind of like the list of different ethnicities and races, and trying to broaden your mind of, oh, well, how would maybe they feel, or surround yourself with people who don't necessarily look like you, and have a big network of people that you talk to or that you chat with. I have, especially through rugby, I've met a lot of different types of people, but I feel one of the things that rugby players generally have is the same sort of personality, especially female rugby players. If there is a female rugby player who's relocating, I would always stress that they go and find their local rugby club, because they're likely to find like-minded individuals that would kind of instantly give you a set of friends that you can connect with, you know, go out of the box, see if you can take in a film or read a book that has been recommended to a different type of person than what you are, and see how that resonates with you. And if it does bring up some feelings or some thoughts, see if you can delve into those a little bit deeper with like some trusted people.
Those are some great tips. I've got some lovely, great friends, but they are not looking necessarily to expand their perspective on things.
Yeah.
And I find it super interesting when either I recommend something that they watch and then they come back and say, oh my God, that was really good. I never thought of this. You kind of like TV, film, media, entertainment. It's so underestimated for what difference it can make, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think definitely maybe with those people who are harder to reach in terms of having conversations with, getting them to watch a film that touches on maybe really difficult conversations that if you were to have them with that person, they might not go very well. But if it's done through film, they might be able to see it from a different side.
Yeah, show not tell, and yeah. Show by a third party, not by yourself.
Yeah.
So what are you most proud of achieving in your diversity and inclusion journey?
I think so far, I would say it is being director of rugby at Manchester Village Spartans, because I honestly don't think I would get the opportunity at any other rugby club, being female, but also being only like 5'4" and not really muscular and bulky. Like I think my persona doesn't make you think that I know a lot about rugby or that I even play rugby. And I think it's so interesting for our first teams who play in the local league to play against teams who aren't queer. And when I turn up, they almost always ask me if I'm the physio. And then I'll be like, oh, no, I'm the director of rugby, actually. And they'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just didn't think. And I'm like, yeah, no, you don't think. That's quite clear. But it's the same with like referees. They'll do the same to me. So I feel like having the Spartans in a local league playing against like the average men's rugby club, I think that is so important to broaden people's minds, and not just to the fact that queer men play rugby, but also to the fact of like women can coach and women can be in charge of like 100 rugby players and still be able to get some sort of success out of the season, like for whatever goals we set in the off season. Knowing that we've got a cohesive group of staff people who get together and come up with these goals, and we're achieving them, and we're all very diverse, and we're like, it's great to see that our club, if you put them next to your average rugby club, we are like ridiculously diverse. But I think that's also maybe the problem with rugby union generally, is that it's dominated by people who all look the same.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know, you sound like a documentary waiting to happen.
And so, you know, just building on that, how would you say that rugby has changed? And what would be the difference between the rugby that you experience, you know, through the Village Spartans versus a broader scale? So I use the word straight rugby in you know, that sort of sense. But, you know, how would you think things have changed? And is there a clear difference between the two?
I think it's really interesting. I also coach at Sefton Rugby Club for the women's team. I also play on that team. But we've had a chat with some of the people who want to see the club develop in different ways. And one of the things that they said was to be more inclusive. And I said that if you don't have a recognised team who are queer, it's quite difficult for you to entice queer men to come and play for your team. And he just didn't get it. He didn't really understand why.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you're not a queer man, so you won't know. And I was like, but I work with queer men, and I will tell you that it, unless somebody is really, really keen to develop their rugby playing career, they're not going to go to the average rugby club, because the baggage that comes with it is not worth it. And they are less likely to find, not saying that it's not going to happen, but they are less likely to find people who they will be able to like go to or talk to when things are really hard. And obviously in the queer community, we have a lot of that. So that's, I feel like the rugby club is first and foremost your support network. And then if you play a bit of rugby as well, that's absolutely great. But I want people to understand that the sport is more than just running around and hitting people. Like there's a whole network of people that you can go to and like lean on when things do go really, really badly. I think from sort of like maybe the past sort of like 20 years, I think there has been a big increase in the diversity of rugby and the way that it's set up and the different formats of it, and the fact that we have IG rugby, that we have a gay league that we are entered into, and the fact that there's more of those teams popping up every year, which is so good to see. And that the fact that they are supported, a lot of them are supported out of rugby clubs who already have their own teams. So they're just like an added extra. And that's great to see.
Yeah, cool. And so, you know, if anybody was interested in joining a local sports team, now, obviously, I'm, you know, going to say an LGBTQ plus team here, but in general, what advice would you give to anyone who is wanting to get involved in sports or you know, try something different?
I would say absolutely do it. Go for it as much as you can. I would. So if somebody was interested, say, in football, and they wanted to go to their local football team, and if there was like three around them that are all similar distance, I would suggest going to a training session at each club just to see what the vibe's like and just to see if that's something that you want to put yourself into. Especially like I've had a few friends who have gone from changed areas, and they've asked me for like recommendations of a rugby club to go and join, and I've just said go to three or four, or go to two or three, and suss out what the vibe is, because it can put you off the sport forever if you have a bad experience at a club, or if you go to a club and after 4 weeks people aren't friendly or people still don't know who you are. So I would say kind of like just keep your options open and like find a place that fits for you, not necessarily where it's easiest to get to or the one that has like the best reputation. Because I think that's really important. Like your happiness has to come first, especially with amateur sports. Like nobody's getting paid to play. So don't put yourself under the stress, and make sure that you're in a place where you feel welcome and feel like you are valued.
That sounds like a valuable life lesson. That's great advice.
Ah, thank you.
Well, Ali, it's been great talking to you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been absolutely wonderful.
And bro, I want to go and find my local team now. And to all of our listeners, please tune into our next episode of the Ally Spotlight.